Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chrissy Mernon. My guests are Laura Lopez. She is Public Information Officer for the Texas Department of Transportation here in San Antonio. And she brought along with her Tommy Moreno. He is a defensive driving instructor for the city of San Antonio. He's a safety coordinator with the city of San Antonio. He is all about safety. But he is here because he is, and his family, they're among the Faces of Drunk Driving, and that is a campaign that the Texas Department of Transportation launched because you have a continuing effort to educate people that it is not safe to be a drunk driver.
Absolutely, and this is one of several campaigns that we have throughout the year as part of our Plan While You Can. And it's something that we stress every single day. And like I said, we've got several campaigns that are related to impaired driving. And so this is it's a really great campaign to see visuals of people that have been affected by drunk drivers and how their families have coped with them. There is a website, facesofdrunkdrivers.com, and it's just amazing of the stories behind those that have been affected, that were either in an injury, they had serious injuries due to a drunk driver, or they were killed, and just how their families have had to deal with it.
When I see those stories and when you hear the people, you think about all of the damage, all of the pain, all of the loss, the grief, the suffering could have been avoided because that is totally preventable.
Absolutely. It's just a matter of seconds that somebody's life is affected by this.
And someone made a decision, a bad decision.
A really bad decision. And unfortunately, there are many people that are affected by it, not just those of the drivers themselves, but the victims.
How bad is drunk driving in Texas?
It's still an issue. In Texas in 2016, there were almost 25,000 crashes due to drinking and driving. In San Antonio, there were 1,849 crashes that resulted in 54 deaths and 99 serious injuries in 2016. So it's still to this day is a serious problem. So we encourage people that if you're going to be celebrating, doing any type of celebrating, parties, anywhere where there is going to be drinking involved, please plan ahead. Mm-hmm. Have a plan in place. Have a designated driver, or as we call it, a pass, a person appointed to stay sober. Mm-hmm. And that's not the person that has had the least amount of alcohol. That's the person that has had no alcohol whatsoever in their system. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. I mean, there's so many options. There's so many choices. It's an easy solution before even drinking. Mm-hmm. So we encourage, and like I said, this is something that we campaign all year long, that if you're going to be drinking, have someone to get you home safely.
Are there times of the year that drinking and driving is worse, or is it just every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night?
Well, of course, we see more activity happening Friday evening, Saturday mornings, Saturday evenings through Sunday morning. Of course, we see a lot of that through our Wrong Way Driver program. That's where we see the high number of incidents taking place. However, you see it at all times of the week, mm-hmm. not just on the weekend. So it varies, but yet it's still an issue because we still get high numbers. We still have these high numbers of people that are involved in crashes because they are drinking. They are getting behind the wheel and putting their lives at risk and others. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that we continue this education throughout the year to remind people, have a plan in place. It's mm-hmm. that simple.
Mm-hmm. So through this Faces of Drunk Driving, you're hoping, promoting empathy?
It really hits home when you read the stories of these youngsters that have been affected, that were a passenger or even the driver in a vehicle and got hit by someone that was drunk. They're very great stories. It's mm-hmm. it touches home.
One of those stories is the story of Tommy Moreno's family, and Tommy's with us this morning. So Tommy, tell me about what happened.
Well, it happened back in October 1995. My parents had purchased some acreage, and my wife and my two daughters were out there along with my brothers helping them clear mesquite. And we were there most of the day, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, Terry, who's named after my mother, Teresa, and she wanted to go home with Grandma that day. So early in the day, I said, not a problem. As the day grew long, my wife and I decided we were going to take all the kids home with us. Of course, you know, she, like a child, said, I want to go home with Grandma, and I said, no, you're going to go home with us. So we all went home, and we said bye to everybody, and when I pulled into the garage, my phone was ringing. So I went to the phone and I answered it, and it was my brother, and he was in a panic. And he says, "You need to get back out here." I said, "What's going on?" And he told me, "Mom just got hit by a drunk driver." Well, I made the mistake of saying that out loud, and both of my daughters, who were 9 and 11 at the time, literally fell to the floor in the fetal position saying, "You know, what's happened to Grandma?" And so I was, you know, trying to keep my composure, and I asked my brother, "How's Mom doing? You know, how is she?" And his answer or response was, "I don't know. They're working on her."
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah. The only thing I saw in my head was they were performing CPR. I had no idea what the crash scene looked like or anything. My brothers and my father had pulled up a couple of minutes afterwards because my parents were in separate cars. So I ran out there as soon as I could, and my wife and two daughters stayed at home. And I went out there, and it was off of Sulphur Springs Road out there in the East Central area. And when I got there, all the emergency vehicles were gone. They were trying to clean up some of the mess. And I was looking for my mother's Ford Explorer, and I couldn't find it. I mean, I saw, you know, pieces of vehicle. And when I come to find out later was the man that was driving over the hill was in a white pickup truck that was still there. And he had veered off, crossed the center lane to his left. My mother went to her right like she was supposed to do. But he kept coming to his left. So at the last minute, my mother went to her left because she couldn't go to her right anymore. And when he hit her doing in excess of 70 miles an hour. And he literally sheared the Ford Explorer in half. The only part that was still intact was where my mother was sitting, and she was belted in, thank God. She got 5 stitches on her cheek and 7 on her head where she hit the side window. But the first thing that came to my mind was if my younger daughter would have been sitting in that passenger seat, I'd be one daughter less today, a son-in-law less today, and she's already given birth to 2 grandchildren. So I wouldn't have had those extra blessings. The blessings that happened that day was the first person on site was a nurse, and when my brother pulled up, he literally ran to the truck to pull the guy out and was just wanted to hurt him. But the police officers that were on site actually went to high school with my brothers and kept them out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the sad part was that this, I'm not going to use the word gentleman, but this man had just been released from jail 2 weeks prior for his 5th DWI. So this was his 6th now. He had no license, he had no insurance, he had no business driving. And yet, that day, as Laura mentioned earlier, in a matter of seconds, my life changed, along with my family's. It took my mom about a year before she got back into a car. It just scared her to be in a car. She still lives out in that area, and when she passes that area, she still remembers. Mm-hmm. And it's still a 2-lane highway, or a 2-lane street.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still very scary, but you know, that, and as a young man, you know, when we're young, we think we're invincible. So we think we can drink and drive. I'm retired military. When I was in my 20s, like most military people, we drink and we drive. We don't think twice about it.
Because most times, nothing ever happens.
Right.
You get to where you're going.
Absolutely.
Or you think nothing happened.
Well, I mean, you don't think you're influenced because you think you're okay to drive. And that's the misconception of people thinking, well, I've only had 3 or 4 drinks. I'm not over that 0.08. You don't have to be over 0.08 to be impaired. And that's what people don't get. You know, you can be at a 0.03 or 0.04. If you hadn't eaten anything all day, it's going to affect your reaction time. It's going to affect your depth perception. It's going to affect all kinds of things when you're driving. And so in my classes, when I'm teaching defensive driving, I always use the phrase, don't be the cause of anybody else's pain. Because I'll ask people, how many of y'all have been affected by a drunk driver or a DWI? And the majority of the time, it's the majority of the class. My next question is, are those people bad people? And the answer is always no. But as y'all discussed earlier, they made a bad what? A bad decision. And that's what it is. It's that one decision that they make that can not just change their life, but the lives of many others, both families. Because it's not one family that suffers. When a drunk driver hits someone, it affects both families. It affects their children. It affects their friends at work. Pretty much everyone that they know. You know, it's scary to think that every hour, 2 to 3 people are getting hit by drunk drivers. drunk driving has no time limit. It has no discrimination. It can be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It can be 2 o'clock in the morning. It can be 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the evening. It really has no time. So you never know when it's going to happen. Recently, back in April, I got rear-ended by a drunk driver. Luckily, it wasn't as bad as
your mom's accident.
But it just goes to show you that, you know, the statistics say that 40% of people that you know, that's two out of every five people, will be involved in an alcohol-related incident in their lifetime. Now, that's scary.
That is.
40% of the people that you know. So if you have five people in your family, two of those people will be affected. And that can be anything from a fender bender to a fatality. People think, oh, well, that means they're going to die. No, it doesn't mean that. That means if I have a beer and I'm in a parking lot and I back up and break somebody's, you know, taillight, well, that's an alcohol-related incident because I had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scary, but there's so many people. And another gentleman that is on our committee at the coalition that we belong to with TxDOT is Art Prue, and he's one of the assistant DAs, and he's in charge of the DWI task force. And he has told us at our meetings that for every person that they catch for DWI, they have done it at least 80 to 100 times before.
Oh, so this was just the one time they got caught.
Exactly.
But it had been a pattern.
Well, like you said, you don't think anything's wrong with you. Okay, I've only had two beers today. I've only had four beers today. I get behind the wheel, and it's no big thing because I've done it time and time and time and time again, and I always get home. I may not remember how I got home, but I got home. And so it becomes habit, and it's like, well, I did it, you know, 100 times before. And what's so different about this time? But like we tell people, it's not the 100 times you've done it before. It's at one time that something happens. That's when you start changing lives. So, you know, just don't be the cause of anybody else's pain.
That's it. And I guess we just think nothing is going to happen.
It's unfortunate. I mean, recently at one of our meetings, the Adios family, they have four small children. They're the ones that the couple got killed on 1604. I believe this was back in about October, November time frame. And they were going home after a football game. And the guy from Fort Sam Houston, who was a security supervisor, went around a car. He'd been drinking, hit them head on, killed both of the parents. Three children were in the Suburban with them. Little Joey was sitting in the middle. He actually plays football with my grandson. I was at that football game that morning. Just saw the family where everybody's smiling. We won the game. It was a good day. And then an hour later, we started getting telephone calls that, you know, they just got into a wreck. And then we found out later that they both passed on. So, you know, that's four children right there that are now, you know, they
orphans.
Lost both. Well, they're not orphans. They got their aunt actually officially adopted them about a month ago. 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have parents, but it's not their real parents.
They have the pain. They live with the pain
sure.
of that terrible
sure.
day. And they don't have their mom and dad.
And little Joey's only six.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to live with that for a long time, hopefully. I mean, he'll have a long life, but he's always going to... It was a good day and a bad day, you know,
right,
at the same time.
Right. Oh, no, I would say that I would have lifelong ramifications.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that you're always affected because... and that it was someone's bad decision. So, Tommy, you know, what are you doing? Obviously, you're very involved with this because you're on the Traffic Safety Coalition and you're a defensive driving instructor. So what are you doing to stop drunk driving? You know, what do you think you can do?
Well, I constantly promote it with all my friends and family. And I tell people, if you've got my cell number, if it's 2 or 3 in the morning, call me because I would rather... go pick you up, and yes, you're going to hear a sermon from me, no doubt. Okay, I'm known for that. And I will. And you may not remember it, you may not remember it. And the next day, I may talk to you about it again. But the fact of the matter is, I'd rather go pick you up and make sure you got home safe than you take the chance of maybe I'll drive home and you don't get home at all. You know, nobody wants to get that knock on the door at 2 or 3 in the morning and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry, sir, there's been an accident. So-and-so's not coming home. And there's so many of my students that have had that knock on their door. And it's a knock that you just don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I promote it not only in my class, I promote it with my family and friends. You know, doing interviews like this, it's just something that is kind of instilled in you after you've lived with it. Anybody that's ever been affected by a drunk driver, tends to be an advocate against drunk driving. So, you know, you're constantly telling people, hey, look, you've had a few. Why don't you give me your keys? Let me take you home. And there's, like Laura says, there's all kinds of options out there. You got a person appointed to stay sober. You can call a cab. You can call Uber. There's another program called RUI, Riders Under the Influence. And there's a lady by the name of Janine Phillips. She started that a long time ago. She's part of our coalition. They work on Fridays and Saturday nights from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they will pick you up and take you and your vehicle home. And it's a free service.
So that's Riders Under the Influence. You know, I know we have those special programs around the holidays when there is a lot of drunk driving and a lot of programs dedicated to that. So this is year-round,
this
huh?
This is year-round.
Riders Under the Influence.
And it's and they'll take donations for gas money because these are all it's volunteer-based. And so, you know, their phone number is real easy to remember. It's 999-0200. And, you know, from between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. on Fridays and Saturday nights, that's when they call. And you can call them up. They'll take you and your vehicle home. Once they drop you off, then they go pick up the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good program, but there's all kinds of programs out there. If nothing else, like Laura says, have a plan. Have someone pick you up. Have someone drop you off. You know, whether it's friend or family, or take turns. You know, if you and I and Laura go out and party together and you guys want to have a couple of margaritas, then I'll drive you guys home. And I'm the one that, as Laura says, I don't drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, oh, I only had one drink. I just don't drink at all. And then the next time we go out, maybe, you know, Laura drives and you and I have a couple of margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
But have a plan in place so that everybody gets home safe. You know, everybody deserves to get home to their family safe on a daily basis. And, you know, I tell my students again in class, the whole objective when you get behind the wheel is that you get to your destination safely. So if that means you don't drink, then that means you don't drink. It really is that simple.
Because you can drink another, like say, another time when it's your turn to be the passenger
sure.
rather than the driver. And so how did your family change as far as drinking and celebrating and driving after the wreck involving your mom?
Well, I know for myself, I kind of sort of had a deal with the man upstairs. And I said, you know, on Sundays, that's your day. That's one day I'm not going to drink. But I also reduce my drinking and I don't get behind the wheel after I've had a few or anything. My brothers have cut back on their drinking. My sister doesn't drink. You know, it just alcohol is not doesn't mean that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when because
it's
of
a,
what it costs
when it's
you.
A BYOB, usually it's a Big Red. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's, or
bring
a doctor,
your own Big Red, yes.
Yeah, or Dr. Pepper. You know, we have a lot of family functions with my family. And
it's not healthy for you anyway.
Yeah, sure. But I don't remember the last time that anybody brought alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So you can have a good time without alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, you can. I've had friends of mine that have, you know, decided to take a break, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go and they'll come back and say, you know, I really never noticed how dumb people act after they drink because I was under the influence too. He goes, but when you see it with sober eyes, it really opens up your eyes to how you act when you've been drinking. Because let's face it, one of the first things that people say when they get pulled over is, well, I didn't think I was that drunk.
I only had 2 beers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when the officer asks you, are you sure that's all you had? And they go, well, it might have been 3 or 4. Well, if you can't even remember how many you had, you probably had too many.
Because that's what alcohol's doing to you, isn't it? It's just kind of erasing your sharpness,
yeah.
taking you slowly down a
well,
path.
You know, it affects your physical coordination, you know, staying in the lane, weaving, things like that. But it really mentally, it affects your judgment. A lot of DWIs, people that get pulled over for DWIs, they don't get pulled over for swerving and doing a bunch of stuff. They get pulled over because they forget to turn their headlights on. They're going a lot slower than the speed because they want to be safer. They think they're being safer. Or they're going too fast. You know, it's for other things. You know, they might have a burned out license plate light bulb. But it's usually, you know, I have a friend of mine that went to a club with some friends and all of a sudden, boom, they followed each other. And one of them, they kind of took off pretty quick. They got pulled over. They didn't think they had that much to drink. And when they did the field sobriety test, next thing you know, they got some bracelets on. So, you know, it doesn't take but a split second to mess up. You know, either you're going too fast, too slow. You know, I didn't know the tree was that close. that type of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot on the line because as you were talking, and you work for the city of San Antonio, I know a lot of places they're going with a zero tolerance policy that if you get arrested for DWI, you're not only having an expensive legal problem, you've got a problem at work.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the average cost for a DWI is about $17,000. I mean, you know, that's a nice little vacation. We're talking about cruises a little earlier before we're online, but you know, that's a good vacation right there. But you know, the thing is, how are you going to support your family if you lose your job?
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of companies now that are going to that zero tolerance because they realize you're now a high risk. You know, if you do driving for that company, you definitely become high risk if you get a DWI. Plus the fact that you get your license taken away. So then, if that is your job, how are you going to perform your job?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You don't have a license anymore.
And you know, I when Laura was here on a previous occasion, we talked about there's a no-tolerance policy at TxDOT for talking on your cell phone while you're driving. So Laura, what's the policy? What does TxDOT say to its employees about drinking and driving and cell phone and driving?
Oh, the same thing. There is no, I mean, we zero tolerance right there. I mean, we preach it every single day with all of the campaigns that we have for drinking and driving. So yes, it same applies with our employees. If something happens to them, they can lose their jobs also, you know, not just the texting and driving, but I mean, safety is our number one priority and it is preached every single day.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what, you know, and that's what I've learned from Laura is that, you know, you don't really need to touch your phone with your hand while you're driving.
It really isn't worth it. When you think about it, those of us in this room right now are of age that we remember when there were no cell phones. You remember when you had a pager and that was the high-tech thing and you thought you were really important because you had that little thing that buzzed on your hip. But the thing about it was when it buzzed, you simply waited till you got to your destination. You saw who it was.
Or you found a payphone.
Exactly.
Remember those?
Exactly. You would actually have to, yes.
Right. You had to have some quarters.
Right. Yeah. That's right. You had to carry, yeah.
If there's any listeners, a payphone, you actually used to have to put a quarter in there to make a phone call. But it's funny because in my classes,
and
I get
people's numbers.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
That's right.
But I have younger people that in their 20s, and I'll ask them, do y'all know what a payphone is? A lot of them are oblivious to it. I recently went to Green with my granddaughter. And we went into one of the antique shops, and my daughter goes, look, this is the phone we used to have. And it's the kind with a long cord that hung on the wall. And it had a rotary dial. And my granddaughter goes, why would you use this? Realizing that was the kind of phones we had. So, you know, back in the day, we used to wait to make our phone calls. So there's plenty of apps out there that will disable your phone while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Use them or simply put it on silent and don't look at it until, you know, you get to your destination. Because it's human nature that if you have the phone on, when it dings or rings or buzzes or does whatever, your first inclination is to look at it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And your eyes are now off the road.
And in a matter of seconds, a lot can happen.
Well, think about it. When you're doing 65, 70 miles an hour on the highway and you look down for 3 to 4 seconds, you've traveled quite a distance. So what happens if a car stops in front of you? A dog runs out in front of you, God forbid it, a person runs out in front of you, it can definitely be disastrous at that point.
Mm-hmm. And it's a phone call about, like, what are we going to have for dinner? Something that's really insignificant.
Last year, we went to a summit up in Austin. And one of the most touching things, and I talk about this in my class too, was there was a lady, a mother, whose daughter died in a texting driving accident. Mm-hmm. And I know this has nothing to do with drunk driving, but it's a distraction. And she held up two phones. She said, this is the phone that my daughter had when she received the text and she was looking at. And then she goes, this is the phone that sent the text. Well, the audience was like, how did she get a hold of both phones? And then she followed it up with, this is my phone. I'm the one that sent the text to my daughter. Can you imagine living with that guilt? So whether it's texting and driving, drinking and driving, they're both bad ideas because even sleeping and driving, drowsy driving, the result is always the same. If you cross a median or you go head on into someone, another vehicle, the results are the same. And so that's what we're trying to prevent, not just with the traffic coalition, but in our personal lives. I mean, and I'm sure Laura and people, the TxDOT that they're constantly here in the city, they go back and they share with their families. I know I do. My kids are constantly, yes, dad, because I would rather make sure that I told them so they know that, as opposed to not saying anything and then something happens and then I feel bad because I didn't do my due diligence as a father.
To tell them, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and so when you're doing defensive driving, we just have a couple minutes left. Our guest this morning, Tommy Moreno, he is a defensive driving instructor for the city of San Antonio. He's a safety coordinator with the city, and he's on the Traffic Safety Coalition with TxDOT. Laura Lopez is the public information officer for TxDOT. So what do you emphasize, you know, when you have just a couple minutes to tell someone about driving, what's the most important thing we should know or we should do when we're driving?
You know, the thing is we know what to do, but we tend to ignore it sometimes. We put it on the back burner. We forget to put our seatbelt on. Something as simple as putting our seatbelt on, you know, make sure you haven't had any drinks. The distractions that you have, if you're going to listen to a radio station, set it before you take off.
And don't change that dial. Keep it on this one.
That's absolutely. So, you know, that's the thing, but it's little distractions like that that make a big difference. You know, back in the day when there were no seatbelts, and then they became optional, and then they became mandatory. Everybody complained about it. They complained about the child safety seats. You know, my kids hated to sit in them because it was something new. My grandchildren, they automatically crawl into it. Why? Because they know it's part of the process. So what we need to do is train ourselves and others within our family to do the right things. That way it simply becomes a reflex. It becomes a reaction. It becomes part of the process. When you get into that car, certain things have to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, first thing, put on your safety
buckle
belt.
Buckle up. Click it or ticket.
Click it. And you know, you still see people, do you see people driving without their seatbelt on?
Unfortunately, I do. Yeah, I do. And you know, if I see them at a red light, I will tell them, I'll do the little hand signal, hey, get the seatbelt on.
Good for you.
So, I mean, it's, you know, we're a lot closer than we think. We're all family when it comes down to it. We're all related somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, we might as well take care of our family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Laura, seatbelts?
I see plenty of people wearing them. It's the cell phones that I still see people holding them or on them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see more of still.
You especially see it on the freeways. And I think this is the last place you should be on your cell phone.
Absolutely.
And so what do you tell people about cell phones?
Same thing. If just leave it on your seat, leave it on your console, whatever. Put it on silent. You know, just don't talk. It's not worth it. You know, it's not worth losing a loved one when they're texting you, love you, or L-U, or OK, or just the letter K. It's not worth two or three or four letters. It really isn't. So just wait till you come to a complete stop, and then go ahead and make your phone calls or your text messages.
And then what are some other things? Before we started today, you talked about a woman. You heard about a woman who... put on her pantyhose on the way to work.
That's one of our funny stories. Yes. I mean, people will do crazy things when they're driving. You know, one, she was putting on her pantyhose on her way to work because she was running late. I know people like to bash women at, well, they put on makeup and all that. But, you know, on the guy side, I have seen guys that have been shaving and they may not be putting on makeup, but it's still a distraction. You know, I see other guys that have their laptop on their front seat and they're trying to do work while they're driving. Things like that just don't need to happen. Do the right thing because that's what's going to keep you safe.
Yeah, I told you about the lady I saw yesterday with, she had her right hand over on the passenger side and a spoon in her right hand, and she's scooping down eating something while she was driving like 50 miles an hour down the road.
Right, and people don't believe that food can be a distraction, but hey, how many of y'all have bitten into that hamburger and all of a sudden that ketchup and mustard falls on your chest and the first thing you do is what? You look down.
Right.
And you're doing 65,
and you're squirming, and then you're trying to get a napkin or something because you want it off.
Or God forbid a soda falls over.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, food can be a distraction. So there's all kinds of dangers out there. It's just a matter of trying to do the right thing.
So, it's common sense and just focus on the one task at hand, which is arrive safely at your destination.
Absolutely.
You, your precious passengers, and your vehicle.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a message. You know, we just can't say it enough.
And don't be the cause of anybody else's pain because it really, that hurt just keeps carrying on.
I want to thank you for stopping by. Our guest this morning, Tommy Moreno, he is a defensive driving instructor for the city of San Antonio. He's a safety coordinator with the city. He's on the Traffic Safety Coalition with TxDOT, and Laura Lopez, the public information officer with the Texas Department of Transportation here in San Antonio. And they are, you know, part of the faces of drunk driving. And we certainly don't want anyone else to be among those faces.
Absolutely. And if I could say just one last thing, just make sure that you buckle up and drive safely.
Thank you.